Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. These words from Jesus strange words for our gospel. Strange to call it gospel. Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. Greek mythology tells of a titan named Prometheus, who stole fire from the gods and gave it to human beings so that they could grow and develop and expand their knowledge and dominance in the world. In the Northwest, in the Pacific Northwest, there's a group of Native Americans in British Columbia who tell of a man named Wiget who did the very same thing, stole fire from the great chief, and it spread into the woods and the areas all around and got into the people's hands of the land. Fire is something that human beings have always been fascinated by. And it's always been something associated with power. Those who had fire had power. And those who have firepower have power. It's something that we've always associated with power. But there's a problem with fire. It's not easy to control. All you have to do is look around at the wildfires that burned in California and Oregon and Alaska and Colorado. When wildfires start, they're not easy to sort of wrangle into place. They grow quickly. And depending on the weather, depending on the wind, depending on the environment, they can grow and burn acres upon acres and are quite destructive. If you look historically, there are always great fires to look back in history at. The Great Chicago Fire, the Great Fire in London. There was one in New York that burned buildings and, unfortunately, people. Even here in Eugene, I've heard the story many times of the old baseball stadium. Yeah, we know that story of the kids who were playing with matches, apparently, and it burned down because it was all made of wood and very dry and old, and that's what happens. When fire gets out of hand, it devours everything. Nothing can really stand in its way. And, you know, Smokey Bear, what does he always remind us? Only you can prevent forest fires. That's a lot of pressure, right? A lot of pressure. Fire's dangerous. It's not something you want to get into the wrong hands. And Jesus here uses this phrase, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. Doesn't he realize how dangerous fire is? Of course he does. Doesn't he know how destructive even the smallest flame can be? Fire can destroy, but it can also purify. It can cleanse. Fire is used to purify gold, superheated so that the dross floats to the top and you scrape it off and you get pure gold. Fire can clear land, but also provides opportunity for new growth. Up in Alaska, when this fire goes through, there's this plant that grows, aptly named, fireweed. Because once that land is cleared, then these new green shoots grow up everywhere. Fire can be incredibly healthy, but also incredibly destructive. So what is this fire that Jesus is hoping can blaze throughout the world, this kindled fire that he's looking for? It's the Holy Spirit. He came to bring that Holy Spirit onto this earth, and he's saying, would that it were already active. Would that the Holy Spirit were already burning in the hearts of people. It hadn't happened yet. So let's sing the song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And what do we say? Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Why don't we hide it under a bushel? It's one of those things that we kind of think about. There's a couple of things that could happen according to Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus talks about the light that is shining, the lamp that you don't hide under a basket. Why not? Why don't you hide a light under a basket? What do you want it to do? You want it to shine. So if you hide it under a basket, it's not going to shine, right? It's going to go out, or it's going to at least conceal the light, or it's going to set the basket on fire. That's one that he doesn't really mention, but that could happen. It gets out of hand fast. If you try and hide that light under a basket, it's going to set it on fire. Neither one is really a good option for the light of the gospel, either setting whatever it's hiding on flames or going out. Jesus concludes those words by saying, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." The light of the gospel is intended to shine, to be lit and to burn and to flame and to spread all over the earth. But we can be afraid of fire, both in the literal sense and in the figurative spiritual sense. I can't tell you how many times fire and I have a very strange relationship. Growing up, I had this, probably unhealthy if I look back at it, fascination with fire. When I was an acolyte, I got in trouble because we were sometimes late coming out of the sacristy to light candles because we were playing with matches. Yeah, well, see, there were only boys in my confirmation class, and only the boys were the acolytes, and so you give boys matches and put them in a room where nobody can see them, what's going to happen? Yeah. I also was one of those kids who idolized the Dukes of Hazzard, so when I got a bow, what did I try and launch but flaming arrows? I don't think I have any hair left on my knuckles from all of those flaming arrows. Thankfully, it never burned anything down. We didn't lose any trees or anything. But I've always had a strange relationship with fire. It can be dangerous stuff. So the admonishment not to play with matches is a good admonishment. Don't play with matches. But the fire of the Holy Spirit can be dangerous too. Like the tongues of flame on Pentecost, what did people think when they saw and heard the tongues of flame and all of the stuff on Pentecost? They thought that the people were drunk because they were talking in ways that they shouldn't be talking. These men are filled with new wine, they said. The flame of the Holy Spirit can cause division. In fact, that's what Jesus was talking about. I came that there would be division on earth, and that there would be. Absolutely, there still is division because of Jesus. If we look at how the gospel, the flame of the Holy Spirit in the gospel, has divided things in this world, it split families. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but how many of us have families that some go to church, some don't, some believe, some don't? Even though we were all sort of raised in that same environment, the gospel splits things. Divides families, divides churches. It can divide churches based on how we think the gospel ought to be presented. Do you think we ought to speak in tongues? Do you think there ought to be faith healings? Do you think there ought to be these different things that the Holy Spirit is said to do? It can divide churches, communities. It splits countries. How many countries are divided between the Muslim and the Christian? Or the Jewish and the Christian, or the whatever, and the gospel divides. It splits. It sparks controversy, conflict, and war. So what do we do with it? We then, in order to keep the peace, we take the gospel and we hide it under a bushel. We tend to conceal the gospel in our lives. And after all, we're told we have to. You can't talk about Jesus. You can't bring him up. You can't mention his name. You can't pray. You can't do all of these things in the public square. He is to be hidden, to be concealed. And so we as Christians, we as good citizens, we hide it under a bushel. We can't mention God, the Holy Spirit, the gospel, salvation. We can't talk about all of that stuff, and we see it everywhere. How many of us long for the good old days when we could pray in school and we could talk about the Bible? Well, we talked about this in Bible class. Rose-colored glasses can reveal a lot about what we think the past used to be like. And were there good old days? Sure. Were they all good old days? No, not if we're real. It's common with the flame of the Holy Spirit for things to move apart, for some things to even be destroyed. Jesus, as he's saying these words, is on his way to Jerusalem. He has his eyes fixed on what's to come, the cross. His prayer is that this happens and happens quickly. He wants what's going to come to take place so that the gospel can spread, so that the fire of the Holy Spirit can be lit and it can burn throughout the world. His hope is that it'll spread, as he says, from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And from there, it only spread further. If we look throughout history, it spreads to Africa and to Europe and to Asia and to the Americas. The gospel spreads. You can't contain it. You can try and hide it under a bushel, but it's going to burn and it's going to flame and it's going to spread everywhere. And we're generations since that original gospel fire was lit, and it still spreads. It still spreads. The light of the gospel is going to shine wherever and whenever the Holy Spirit wants us to. In your baptism, how many of you received a candle in your baptism? Some of us. How many of you who received it still have it? Some of us, right? Some, it's been a shorter time between the time of baptism and now. Others, it's been a little bit longer. Candles don't last forever, especially if you light them like you're supposed to. Did you know that you're supposed to light this on your baptismal birthday every year? Just as a reminder, kind of like your regular birthday, you light candles. And I suppose if some of us have lit it every year, it's probably a lot shorter than this one. But in your baptism, the fire of the gospel was lit. It was lit in your heart, in your baptism. Now, some people think that you're born with a divine spark, a light of goodness in your heart. But as Christians, we believe just the opposite, that none of us are born with goodness in our hearts. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to light that flame in us, to light the flame of faith. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, whether it's been a couple of years or many years, it still burns in your heart. That Holy Spirit can't be extinguished. You can hide it under a bushel all you want, but it's just going to burn up that bushel and whatever bushel you tend to put over it. It's going to keep burning them up. That Holy Spirit can't be extinguished. It's why we light these candles. It's why we light these candles. It's a reminder of the enduring presence, the fire of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now, we could talk about heartburn if you want. Many of us know heartburn personally, but how many of us know heartburn spiritually? That feeling, that flame in your heart when you see something that needs to be done, something that needs to be taken care of. And that burns in your heart to help, to jump in, to assist. That fire is dangerous, let me tell you. It can put you into places where you normally wouldn't go. My friend Tim, when we decided to go to the seminary, he's a lovely guy. He said, one day you'll end up in Africa sharing the gospel. And I said, no, I'm not going to end up in Africa. You did, Tim, but I'm not going to end up in Africa. Well, I ended up in Alaska. They both start and end with A. I think maybe that's what he was thinking. But the Holy Spirit can send you places you don't really plan on going. That fire in your heart from the work of God and faith can put you into places where you might be uncomfortable, but it's just where God wants you to be. See, when we sing the song, "This Little Light of Mine," we mean it. We want this light to shine. We want it to shine everywhere and anywhere. As Jesus says, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How can they see it if the light isn't shining out where they are? Faith, the light of the Holy Spirit, the fire that's kindled, shines. It burns. It's dangerous, but it's powerful. That's the light. So here is our blessing. Let the gospel fire consume you and spread. Let it shine from you out into the dark places of the world. Let the fire of Jesus shine in the checkout line at Fred Meyer. Why not? Let the fire of Jesus shine at the table in McDonald's as you share fries or coffee. Let the fire of Jesus shine at the care facilities and hospitals as you go to visit friends and neighbors in need. Let the fire of Jesus shine around your own dinner tables, or even in the cafeteria or break room at lunch when you bow your head to give thanks for the meal. Let the fire of Jesus shine as you give of your time and volunteer at the various community agencies and organizations around town. Jesus eagerly awaited the spread of the gospel and the fire of the Holy Spirit, and it's here. It's burning here today. So let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen. Our hymn of response.